Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for our worship team, wherever you're at, in your living room. Let's praise the Lord, man. Nothing can substitute for worship. Can someone say amen to that? Nothing can substitute worship. Worship prepares our heart for the word. Worship prepares our heart for many things that God is doing in our life. So again, we want to welcome everyone to our worship and word experience online. My name is Pastor Brian from Chapel of Change, and we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to send a shout out to all our campuses that are watching right now, wherever you're at, our Long Beach campus, our Carson campus, our Paramount campus, our Whittier campus, and even our Merced campus. God bless you all. Lord bless you all. And also, I want to welcome all those who are our first-time guests that are watching, wherever you're at. Thanks for tuning in. We broadcast live twice a week, Thursday night at 7:15 for our School of Spiritual Warfare, and then Sundays at 10:15 for our worship and word experience. I encourage you to join us. I encourage you to get involved in what God is doing. I want to send a shout out to some of our youth out there that should be watching at this time. Little Raymond, Ricardo, Jasmine, Lola, Vanessa, all the youth ministry and even the children's ministry. Yeah, I just said your name right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stay focused and let's study the word of the Lord together. If you're watching on Facebook, do me a favor and hit share. Hit share so that other people can experience the word of the Lord this morning. We are going to study God's word for a time, and then I'm going to pray over everybody here. And then afterwards, we're going to have an opportunity to give back unto the Lord. This is the Lord's day. This is the day we want to bring our tithes and our offerings unto the Lord. And you're going to have an opportunity to do that at the end of our message. And you can do that through our website, chapelofchange.org. Now, today, I want to bring us back to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. If you remember, this is our theme verse for the season that we're in today. Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 3. I want to encourage you and remind you to memorize this verse. Write it down. Meditate upon this verse. Let this verse, passage of scripture, marinate in your heart and in your mind. There's so much power in this verse, so much transformation in this passage of scripture. So Isaiah chapter 43. Now, in this passage, I want to remind you, the prophet Isaiah is addressing God's people who are experiencing major, major discouragement. The Babylonian nation had basically come in and they had kidnapped the people of God, and they imprisoned the people of God in a far away land. And at this time in Isaiah 43, the people of God are broken. They are discouraged, and their everyday life is disrupted. Get that. Their everyday life is disrupted. Kind of like what we're going through right now during this quarantine season, right? And so listen to this in chapter 42, verse 22. It describes their situation. I just want you to get the context of what we're going to study. Listen to this. It says, all of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison homes. Wow. Get that. Listen to this. At this time in Isaiah 43, they were all snared in holes, and they were hidden in prison houses. Now, particularly, they were feeling abandoned, and more specifically, they were feeling abandoned by God. And the prophet Isaiah by the anointing of the Holy Spirit as a mouthpiece for God, comes on the scene in Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 3, and he gives them some words from God. He gives them a statement from God that we are meditating upon in these weeks. And so let us turn to Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 3. And if you're able, right there from your homes, if you're able, I want to encourage us to stand up for the reading of God's word. Some people ask, why do you ask the people to stand up for the reading of God's word? Well, about a year or two ago, God kind of put it upon my heart that we are to teach this new generation about reverence for our King and honor for our God. And many people are treating God just too casually. They're treating God like he's their homeboy or something like that. And so just the Lord has put upon my heart to teach God's people about honoring his presence and honoring his word. And so I want to encourage you, if you're watching, just stand up to your feet right now, whether you're in your kitchen or your living room. Come on, young man, young girl, just stand up on your feet as we read God's word. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 3. Listen to the word of the Lord. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel." I like that statement right there. Listen to what he says. He says, "But now, thus saith the Lord." But now, thus saith the Lord. Let me just kind of drop this on you real fast. Remember, the people of God during this time were discouraged. They were brokenhearted. And God, through the prophet, shows up and says, hey, let me get your attention. Hey, let me get your attention. But now, thus saith the Lord. What is the Lord trying to do? He's trying to get their attention. And I want to suggest to you today that during this COVID season and this quarantine season, I want to suggest to you this morning that God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our family's attention. He's trying to get you as an individual's attention. And so he's saying, hold up. He's saying, pause. You didn't want to listen to me. You know, a month ago, we were going 100 miles per hour, including myself. And so what does God do? He hits the pause button on our life. And he says, listen, I got something to say. I got something to tell you. You know, I teach the church regularly that God speaks through four ways. He speaks through four ways. Primarily, God speaks through his word, right? This Bible right here is the inspired word of God. And we believe that God speaks to us through his word, primarily through his word. But he also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leans into our spirit and guides us and directs us. Thirdly, he speaks to us through our leaders, right? Wise counsel. He speaks to us through wise counsel. But then fourthly, don't discount the fourth way that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through circumstances and situations. He speaks to us through circumstances and situations. Hello, somebody. Look around us. The sanctuary is not filled up this Sunday. You're not at the church building this Sunday. You're at home, right? I think God is trying to tell us something. And as the Lord Jesus said when he was on this earth, he who has ears, let him hear. Back to Isaiah 43. Listen to what it says. "But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for speaking to us. Teach us, encourage us, open up the wonders of your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Come on, someone say amen in your living room right now. Someone say amen. Now, I want to pull out some reflections in this passage of scripture that I think are relevant for us today. I want to strengthen you. The Lord has allowed me into your living room right now. anointed by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit to strengthen your spirit for this coming week, maybe even for tonight, maybe even for tomorrow. As we studied this passage of Scripture together, one of the things that I see is that in this entire passage of Scripture, there's only one commandment, only one commandment. And it is the commandment to do not fear. Do not fear. In this entire passage of Scripture, one commandment, do not fear. And last week, we talked about how fear is not from God. Last week, I challenged you. Don't accept anything into your life that is not from God. Any packages that the devil tries to send to you, do not accept them. In fact, I challenged you last week, return to sender. Anybody remember that? Lift up your hands if you remember that, right? We talked about we return to sender the packages of the devil. Remember the Elvis song, Return to Sender? Address unknown, no such number, no such zone. So today, I want to teach more specifically on why us as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, why we do not cave in to fear. That's what I want to bring out this morning. I want to touch more on the subject of fear and resisting fear and why do we have the strength to resist fear, because I know many of us are filled with anxiety. Many of us are discouraged, and you need to be armed. You need to be strengthened. And so I want to teach us this morning on the basis for which we are to resist the spirit of fear. And I'm convinced, my brothers and sisters, that in this last 3 weeks, the spirit of fear has been unleashed onto this world, and it's causing people to suffer greatly. It's causing people to suffer anxiety. It's causing people to suffer worry. It's causing families to turn on one another in their homes, and it's even causing sicknesses. And so I want to help us to combat the spirit of fear. Now, before I get into our lesson this morning, I want to be very, very clear. I want to say something, lest you misunderstand me. Just because we are staying home and adhering to the quarantine expectations of our medical leaders and our government does not mean you are submitting to the spirit of fear, okay? You need to understand that. Just because we're staying home does not mean you're submitting to the spirit of fear. Just because we're practicing social distancing does not mean you are submitting to the spirit of fear. Just because you're washing your hands more than often, and I'm washing my hands more than often, I'm washing my hands, I'm saying the Lord's Prayer as I wash my hands, does not mean I'm submitting to the spirit of fear. So I hope you understand this. I hope you understand me. That's not what I'm referring to when I say don't cave into the spirit of fear. By being under quarantine and listening to the medical professionals and even our political leaders, that is wisdom, right? That is wisdom. We are being wise, and we're helping to not spread this virus. So when I talk about caving into fear, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about caving into anxiety. I'm talking about allowing anxiety to rule your heart. I'm talking about allowing fear to displace the peace of God in your heart. I'm talking about being worrisome. I'm talking about not being able to sleep at night. I'm talking about not even being able to eat. Some of y'all are listening to me, and you can't even eat right these last couple days because the spirit of the fear is running rampant in your mind. That's what I'm talking about, and that's why I believe God has given me a word for you this morning. So a couple things this morning as we think about this idea, why we do not cave into the spirit of fear as believers. Number one, someone say number one. Come on, in your living room, say number one. Help me out. Number one, our King has redeemed us. Our King has redeemed us. I want to call your attention to verse 1. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. So why don't we fear? Why don't we cave into fear? The number one reason is because we've been redeemed. Our King has redeemed us. Our God is not just creator. He's not just sovereign, but he is a redeemer. He's a redeemer. Listen, redemption is the antidote for fear. Redemption is the vaccine for fear. Redemption is the antidote to fear. Redemption is the vaccine to fear. Now, in biblical days, a redeemer would buy back an unfortunate person out of their slavery and debt. He rescued them by paying a price for their freedom. To be redeemed means you've been bought back from sin and fear. To be redeemed means to be bought back from the slavery of sin and even fear. I'm going to say that again. You young people that are listening to me, listen to this. To be redeemed means to be bought back. Someone say bought back. Come on, say it louder in your living room. Bought back. That's what redeemed means. Now listen, I want to remind you. The story of God in relation to mankind is the story of redemption. This book right here, the Bible, is not an ordinary book. It is a supernatural book that chronicles the redemption of mankind by Almighty God. You got to be reminded, if you do not know already, that in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of mankind, after our disobedience, rebellion against God, the enemy, Satan, took us into slavery. He took us into POW status, prisoners of war, and he began to feed us with lies and hurt and sickness and fear. In fact, get this, the first negative emotion to appear in the world after the disobedience of Adam and Eve was the negative emotion of fear. Find out for yourself in Genesis chapter 3, the first negative emotion to appear in this world after the fall of mankind was fear. And the enemy uses fear to keep us in our place. Think about it. Fear keeps us in our place. We don't step out in faith because we're held down by fear. We don't go look for a job because we have fear of rejection. We don't step out on our dreams because of fear of failure. Listen, beloved, the reason why Christians can walk this broken world free from the spirit of fear is because our God has redeemed us from it. We are redeemed. Remember that old hymn that the old folks used to teach us? I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Saved, sanctified, I am. I've been redeemed. Now, this redemption that Isaiah speaks about is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. What he talks about in Isaiah is really a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to this, beloved. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Our King, he stepped out of eternity and he wrapped himself up in human flesh and he endured the pain and the suffering of the cross in order to buy you and I back from the slavery of sin, sickness, and even fear. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was the payment for our redemption. Now let me remind you, when I say the word cross, I'm not talking about a piece of jewelry. I'm not talking about just two wooden planks nailed together. No, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say the word cross, I'm talking about all that Jesus suffered and all that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. That's what I'm referring to. That wooden cross means nothing if it had not been what happened on it and who it happened to, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. All that Jesus suffered and all that he accomplished on the cross, and it is through the cross that we have been bought back from POW status. Anybody remember what Jesus's last statement was on the cross? Don't forget, we are to reflect upon the cross. Don't forget, Easter, Resurrection Sunday is coming. But before we can get to Resurrection Sunday, we got to dwell upon the cross. We got to reflect upon the cross because you ain't going to understand the victory unless you understand the struggle. Remember what Jesus said, the last statement he said on the cross in John 19:30. He yelled out, he says, it is finished. He declared it. He yelled it out. He said, it is finished. You know that word finished means? It means paid in full. That word finished that Jesus used on the cross was an accounting term that referred to when somebody's debt was canceled or when it was paid in full. And so when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, he's talking about his redemption work. He's talking about how he paid the price so that we, you and I, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, can live in freedom from fear. My brothers and sisters, next time the spirit of fear tries to slap you upside the face, you better stop, you better resist it, you better say, no, 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 not today, devil. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been redeemed. Secondly, someone say, number two, why don't we cave in? It's because our King has called us out of the mess. Our King has called us out of the mess. Let me call your attention back to verse 1. God says, I have called you by name. I have called you by name. Now remember, when you study the Bible, you got to always remember the context. Don't forsake the context, right? Because it helps you to understand and get a picture of what's going on. Remember, the people of God were like imprisoned in homes. They were discouraged. They were broken. They were dying, right? And I can just imagine when they heard the words of the Lord saying, I call you. I've called you. I could imagine their ears perk up like my little puppy when I call his name. I can just imagine their face light up because in the midst of their discouragement, they hear the calling of God. It's powerful, beloved. Some of you need to know that in the midst of this mess, God is calling you. Some of you need to be reminded. Some of you need to be reminded. In the midst of this mess, God is calling you. Some of you have gone off track. Some of you know 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when the Lord delivered you from that OD or that alcoholism, or when the Lord delivered you from whatever he delivered you from, you sensed the calling of God, but you have allowed the world to come in and the hustle and bustle of this world to cause you to forget the calling of God. But now the Lord has hit the pause button upon your life, and he has sent me into your living room to remind you he has called you. The Lord is using me today as a mouthpiece to remind you that he has called you. His hand is upon you. He wants to use your life from this moment on for his glory and his honor and the advancement of his kingdom. Will you answer the call, or will it take another time for the world to shut down for you to listen? If you can't say amen, say ouch. Listen, God is using me as a mouthpiece today to remind you that he has called you. 2 Timothy 1:9 says he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. A lady this week sent me a message on Facebook, and it was a powerful story. She said, Brian, I've been backslidden for a long time. But during this quarantine, I've been reading my Bible. And as I've been reading my Bible, I'm hearing the call of God upon my life again. I'm sensing the call of God upon my life. What a powerful story. Listen, beloved, my prayer is that story is multiplied tens of thousands of times, that 5 years from now, my prayer is there'll be tens of thousands of people who will say, I heard the call of God during the quarantine. I heard the call of God during the COVID season, and I answered it, and now I'm serving him with all my heart. That's my prayer, that there'll be tens of thousands of people that hear and sense the call of God. The calling of God will keep you. Calling of God will deliver you. The calling of God will beckon you forward through uncertain times. I'm here because of the calling of God. I'm alive today because of the calling of God. I've survived because of the calling of God. Many of you know my story, how I heard the call of God upon my life in a one-man cell in the LA County jail about to start a prison life sentence. I sensed the calling of God when I was in isolation in the 3,300 floor high power of the Los Angeles County Jail at the age of 17, 18 years old, with a bald head, a red jumpsuit, and I was in that cell, dark and lonely by myself, and I felt and sensed and heard the call of God upon my life. I'm here to testify 27 years later. For 27 years, that call has led me through hell and high water. That call has got me up in the morning when I felt like giving up. That call rose me to life when I felt like giving up. That call gave me strength when I had none. The call of God will do the same for you. It's time to respond. Lastly, number three. Someone say number three. Come on, stick with me. Stay focused right now. Stay focused. Number three. Why don't we cave into fear? Because our King takes personal possession of us. He takes personal possession of us. Verse 1 again, listen to what God says. Not only does he say he calls you by name, but he says this powerful statement. He says, you are mine. He says, you are mine. Get this, my brothers and sisters. This is a powerful revelation. If you get this, it'll set you free right now. Listen, this phrase, mine, you are mine, speaks of a king's personal stash of jewelry that is attached to his side. That's what this phrase, you are mine, speaks of. It speaks of a king's personal stash of jewelry that is attached to his side. In a kingdom, you have jewelry that is put on public display for all to see. Maybe they're put in a see-through box and people can see it and be you know, mesmerized by it. But then there is the personal stash jewelry of the king that he keeps on his side at all times. It is the most precious possession of the king. It is his personal bling bling. And it's so valuable that he keeps it on his side, attached to him at all times. Beloved, when he says, you are mine, that's what he's referring to. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, I take personal possession of your life. You may be in the midst of whatever you're going through, but listen, you could keep your head up high because you belong to God. And God takes personal possession of you. He's not a God that is far off. He's not a God that's leaving you on your own. No. All throughout the scripture, God reveals that he takes personal possession of our lives. In Isaiah, he says he has created you for himself. He said he has created you for himself. And I found a verse, a powerful verse in Malachi. Listen to this. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, it says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. They shall be mine. Personal possession. All throughout the scripture, God reveals that you're not on public, you know, you're not created like a sidewalk that everyone and everything can walk on. You're not just open target for the enemy to hit. No, no, no. You are the personal possession of the king. You got to have that revelation in your heart. He didn't make us to be sidewalks so that everything or everyone can walk over. We are not public property. We are the personal property of the king. That's why we can declare, like Psalms 91 that says, I will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in the darkness, or the calamity that destroys at noon. Though 1,000 may fall on my side and 10,000 at my right hand, no harm shall come near me. That's why we can say that. How on earth do we have the audacity to be able to declare that? You know why? Because we belong to God. We are his personal possession. Apostle Paul lived in this revelation, and it got him through the most terrible storm in his life. In Acts chapter 27, Apostle Paul was on a ship with like 300 hardcore prisoners with tattoos, and they were buff, and a storm came out of nowhere, and it began to break apart the ship, and everybody thought they were going to die. The Bible says they lost all hope, and everybody was screaming for their life, and Paul, he had enough conviction to stand up in front of everybody, and he declares that he belonged to God. He declared that he would be spared because he belonged to God. He says it in Acts chapter 27, verse 23. Chapter 27, verse 23. Listen to what he says. He says, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong stood beside me. Listen to what he said. Listen to his conviction. He's in the midst of the storm. The boat is reeling and rocking. Everybody thinks they're going to die. Listen to what Paul says. He says, last night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong. Look at how he described himself. He said, I belong to God. Why is this so important? Because belonging to God means that you are greatly loved. Belonging to God means you're greatly valued. Belonging to God means you're highly favored. Belonging to God means that you are especially protected during this time. You belong to God. I could imagine the prisoners pulling on Apostle Paul. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to drown. We're going to hit our head upon the rock in the storm. I could imagine them crying to Apostle Paul, and I could imagine Paul turning around and saying, no. I don't know about you, but I belong to God. Because I belong to God, I expect something different to happen to me. I expect something different to happen to me. Not because I'm better than nobody. I'm not better than anybody. I'm a filthy sinner like everybody else. But I belong to God. I remember when I was in prison and I was about 6 years into my life sentence, and they transferred me to Chuckawalla Valley State Prison, and I was the youngest inmate with a life sentence on that prison yard. I think I was about 21 years old, looking like I was 17 years old. And I remember hitting the yard, the prison yard, and there were inmates, like dozens of inmates that were in their like 50s and 60s. And there were lifer inmates who had been in jail for like 20 and 30 years. And I was surrounded by all these people that had been in jail for like 30 years. And they were all telling me, Brian, look at us. Look at us. Because what's happening to us is going to happen to you. We're doing 30 years in prison. Therefore, you're going to do 30 in prison. 30 years in prison. We're getting denied parole. Therefore, you're going to get denied parole. And I remember every time I'd turn around, they would say, look at us. We're dying in here. You're going to die in here. And then I remember one day I begin to learn, or get the revelation, I should say, the illumination, that you know what? I belong to God. I belong to God. I remember turning to Acts chapter 27 and looking at Apostle Paul in this verse where he stood up, and I begin to physically, just as an act of faith, just stand up in my dorm. And I used to just physically say, no, I'm not going to die in this ship of Chuckawalla Valley State Prison. I'm not going to die in this boat of the CDC. No, I belong to God, and I shall live and fulfill the plan of God for my life. That is a conviction that we must have. And I'm here to testify. When I went up for parole board for the very first time, God worked a miracle. I became the youngest inmate with a light prison life sentence to receive a parole date. And I'll never forget, when I went back to that prison yard, everybody's jaw had dropped. Everybody was shocked because they never heard it before. They thought I was going to get exactly what they got, but they forgot. I belong to God. And I got news for you. If you've submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You belong to God too. The Lord don't show no favoritism. What he's done in my life, he can do in yours. All we have to do is surrender to him. So, my beloved, I want to remind you, we don't have to cave into fear. We don't have to cave into fear. We don't have to cave into fear because we've been redeemed. We don't have to cave into fear because God calls us his own. We are his personal possession, and we don't have to fear because we belong to God. I want us to just for a couple moments, wherever you're at, to just bow our heads in our hearts and reflect upon the word of the Lord this morning. You may have not had a chance to pause all this week, but I want to give you an opportunity to pause. Wherever you're at, even a teenager, you too, I want to invite us. Let's bow our heads and our hearts just for a couple moments. We're going to pause and reflect upon the word of the Lord, and then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, but let's pause first. Let's bow our heads. Thank you. you're listening to me right now and you just need special prayer for strength to resist the spirit of fear, I want to pray with you. And I want to act as an act of faith. Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand right now, wherever you're at, as an act of faith. We're going to just touch and agree. We're going to touch and agree. Just lift up your hand. Don't be shy. Right where you're at, lift up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God strengthen you to resist the spirit of fear. I'm going to pray that the peace of God invade your home and your mind. Lift up your hand right now. Bow your heads and your hearts. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all those who lifted up their hands right now. I pray that you strengthen them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you strengthen them with, first of all, the conviction that they have been redeemed. I pray that you strengthen them with the conviction that you have called them out of their mess. I pray that you strengthen them with the conviction that you call them as your personal possession, Lord God. Give them that conviction this morning, so as they walk or travel or live this week, they will live in the freedom of the Holy Ghost. They will live in the power of the Holy Ghost, knowing that they belong to God. I speak peace into their life. I speak healing into their life. I speak wholeness into their life. Lord, those people that are watching that may have tested positive for the COVID virus, I speak healing right now over their life, Father God. There's family members that are listening to me whose family members have tested positive. And right now, they stand in proxy right now through this prayer. We are praying together for healing. We're praying right now for somebody's lungs to clear up right now in the name of Jesus. We're praying for somebody's lungs to clear up. We're praying for somebody's cough to cease right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody's cough to cease right now in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for somebody's fever right now. Lord, I'm reminded when you touch that girl's body, the fever went away. And Lord God, we know that you could touch somebody through this camera. You could touch somebody through this monitor. Touch them, Lord. Let that fever come down. That fever come down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, speak life. Lord, most of all, I just rebuke that spirit of fear. Lord, there's some people in here, they're not sick, but they're feeling like they're sick. There's some people that are listening right now, they're not physically sick, but fear from time to time is getting them to think that they're sick. And so right now, I rebuke that spirit of fear, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of fear. And I pray for protection over your people, Lord. Protection, 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 Lord. Pray for protection, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Someone say Jesus right now where you're at. Say Jesus. Someone say the name of Jesus. Listen, say Jesus. The Bible says the name of Jesus is the name of all names, a name above all names. Come on, say the name of Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every name shall bow, every knee should bow, and every tongue shall confess. Come on, someone say the name of Jesus. You don't have to wait on me to pray. You have a weapon in the name of Jesus. You have an atomic bomb called the name of Jesus. You have the vaccine of all vaccines. It's called the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you. Use the name of Jesus this week. Here, it's yours. Jesus gave it to you in Mark chapter 16. He says, you go, and in my name you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name you shall speak in new tongues. In my name you go. Listen, beloved, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have that name. You have been commissioned to use that name. Use it. Use it this week. Use it this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Someone give the Lord a hand. Praise.